Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading the explanation of the description of Brahma's vision of Vaikuntha. It was said that there in Vaikuntha, there's no influence of the three material modes. And the reason is given why there is no influence of the three material modes. In 10.9, tatra hetuhu nacha kala vikrama iti. Kala vikramena hi prakritik shobat sadvadaya pritak kriyante. The reason for this is given, the reason for why there is no influence of the three material modes in Vaikuntha. The reason is that there is no incursion of time. By the incursion of time, material nature is agitated, and the modes of goodness and so on begin to act as separate entities. So it is implied. Read the Sanskrit. Tasmat yatra sau shad bhava vikara hetu kala vikrama eva na pravartate tatra te sham abhavaha sutaram eveti bhavaha. So it is implied. In that place where there does not even begin the incursion of time, which is the cause of the six kinds of change in material existence, there certainly, there, in that place, certainly there is, oh boy, there, certainly there. That's awkward. Let me just mark that phrase as awkward. In that place, certainly, there is no presence of the material modes. Okay? Where there's no influence of time, their modes do not differentiate. There is no action of the material modes unless it's under the impulse of the force of time. No time? A place where there's no time? There will be no manifestation, no influence of the material modes. Kim cha tesham mulata eva kutara ityaha na yatra maya iti. Mayatra jagat srishtyadi hetur bhagavat shaktir Naptu ka potyamatram Raja adi nishede naiva tad vyuda sat. And then the words beginning nayatra maya serve as an axe to cut out the very root of these modes being. The word maya here indicates not merely deception, but the energy of the Supreme Lord, which is the cause of the universe's creation, maintenance, and destruction. Indeed, the possibility of such fraud has already been ruled out by denying the presence of the modes of passion and ignorance. We don't have to say here that there's no deception in Vaikuntha, because we already said there's no rajas and tamas. And to have deception, you have to have influence of rajas and tamas. Okay? Atava yatra tayo sambandhi satvam prakritam satvam yatarapi na pravartate mishram apritam bhutam buddha trayam pradhanam cha. Ata ev eshitavya bhavat kala maye api nasta iti agre maya pradana yor bedo vivechaniyaha. Or else, we can offer an alternative explanation. Atava. In that place, Vaikuntha, not only the material goodness which accompanies the other two modes does not act, but neither does the mixed, unseparated combination of the three modes, which is the primeval pradana. So even pure pradana, the pure original state of material nature, in which there's no separation, no manifestation of the three modes separately, even the pradana does not appear in Vaikuntha. And thus, time and maya are also absent, because there is nothing present to be controlled by them. I see. Time and maya, their function is to control in the material world. But if there's no pradana, there's nothing to control, there's no purpose for time to be there. Time only exists to control material existence. Maya only exists, or she only serves as Maya. She'll be out of a job if there's nothing to impose illusion upon. So if there's no pradana, then there's no reason for time and Maya to be present. Agree. Maya pradana yor bedo vivechaniya. Later on, the difference between Maya and the pradan will be analyzed. Let me see if I mention where. Yes. Okay, I do mention in the commentary where that happens. Kaimudyen oktam evartam dradayati. What is kaimutya? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What to speak of? It comes from the word kimuta. What to speak of such and such. It sort of makes an overstatement of the logic. There is no pradana, what to speak of the manifest modes. Certainly there's none of that. There's no rajas, tamas, and sattva, since there isn't any pradana even. What to speak of the manifest modes of rajas, tamas, and sattva. So, kaimutyen oktam evartam dradayati kimutapara iti tayor vimishram kinchit rajastamo mishram satvam cha neti vyakya tupishtapeshananeva samanyato rajastamo nishede naiva tatpratipate. The stated idea is fortified by the logic of what to speak of. In the words beginning Kim Uta Pare, actually, the interpretation that it is the mixed mode which is absent, in the sense of goodness somewhat mixed with passion and ignorance, is redundant, chewing of the chewed, because this has already been established by denying in general the presence of passion and ignorance. Now, why would someone say that it's the mixed mode that is absent? That means goodness mixed with passion and ignorance. Okay, I guess what we're interpreting here is Kibuta Pare, what to speak of the others. What's the apare is plural, right? How does Prabhupada translate that? Yeah, kibuta apare had here.
What there is others.
In the translation? In the translation, what speak of what?
There is no permanence in terms of time. So, what to speak of the illusory energy?
Anyway, I don't see here explanation of what Uttapari refers to. What to speak of others? I guess others just means other manifestations of the modes. But Jiva Goswami is saying that it's not right to understand that to refer to the mode of goodness mixed with passion and ignorance, because that's already been implied. Not only implied, it's been stated. Anyway, it's been implied by Jiva Goswami. Says, we've already said there's no passion and ignorance at all. So there's no passion and ignorance at all. How can we have goodness mixed with the passion and ignorance if they aren't there? But Satvam Cha Mishram is there in the verse too, isn't it? Right? Do you got the verse in front of you? The verses in front of you? So there is no mixed sattva also. And we are we being told that we shouldn't understand Satvam Cha Mishram to mean Satvam mixed with passion and ignorance? Okay, I'm sorry, I'm looking around here. I'm trying to see what Jiva Goswami, how he glosses Satvam Mishram. What's the rest of the line? Satram cha mishram what? Yeah, okay. Well, we were talking that there is no sattva, mishra sattva. In the material world, the sattva is always mixed. We did talk about that, specifically because the words are there, sattvam cha mishram. Now he's saying here, utaparde, since we already covered that ground, we shouldn't interpret apare to refer to that mishra sattva again. That would be unnecessary repetition. Is that okay? But he gives the argument that there's no need to specifically mention that because we already said there's no passion and no ignorance. But the verse does specifically say it, so I'm a little confused. The verse does. The verses do say there's no mixed sattva. And the Jiva Goswami is saying there's no need to say that because there's no Rajas and Tamas at all. No, but sattva is Mishra sattva. It's not that something is Mishra by sattva. It says that the grammar is that the sattva is Mishra. Anyway, let's see if the commentary clarifies this. I'm confused. You see what I'm confused about? Jiva Goswami is saying there's no need to say it, but in the verse it was said specifically that there's no mixed sattva. Well, yeah, but he gives a different reason. He says the reason why there's no need to say it is because there's no passion and ignorance in Vaikuntha at all. So the sattva can't be mixed with them. Anyway, so let's see what the commentary says. Commentary, Vikrama means an incursion and also a powerful influence. It also means big steps. Yeah. Trivikrama. He had three, the one who had three big steps. But it also means incursion and powerful influence. The time potency of the Supreme is both, but only in the material realm, not the spiritual. It begins in the glance of Mahavishnu on Prakriti. Kala vritya tu mayayam kunamayam ahom sajaha purushen atma bhutena viryam adatta viryavan. The Supreme Living Being in his feature as the transcendental Purusha incarnation, who is the Lord's plenary expansion, impregnates the material nature of three modes, and thus the influence of eternal time, thus by the influence of eternal time, the living entities appear. This is from the Bhagavatam, third canto, fifth chapter, two verses. Next verse, Tato Bhavam Mahatattvam Avyaktat Kala Choditat Viganat Mat Madehastam Vishwam Vyanjam Tamonudaha. Thereafter, influenced by the interactions of eternal time, the supreme sum total of matter called the Mahatattva became manifested. And in this Mahatattva, the unalloyed goodness, the Supreme Lord, sowed the seeds of universal manifestation out of his own body. Thus, time is an energy of the personality of Godhead, but it acts impersonally. You can say that all the personal energies of the Lord are personal. They belong to him, the person, but they're persons also. So what about time? It's his personal energy. We can explain that time is a person, but it acts like it's impersonal. Now, another three verses explaining this from the 26th chapter of the third canto, which is part of Kapila Dev's instructions. Thus, time is an energy of the personality of Godhead, but it acts impersonally. Prabhavam purusham prahu kalam eke yato bhayam ahankara vimudasya kartuk prakritim iyushaha. The influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is felt in the time factor, which causes fear of death due to the false ego of the deluded soul who has contacted material nature. Prakriter guna samyasya nirvisheshasya manavi cheshtayatatsa bhagavan Kala ityupalakshitaha. My dear mother, O daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, the time factor, as I have explained, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom the creation begins as a result of the agitation of the neutral, unmanifested nature. So here we're saying time is the Lord. Well, really, time is an energy of the Lord, but we're just emphasizing the non-difference by saying this. It's a personal energy of the Lord, so we can even say it is the Lord, although not literally. Antap purusha rupena kala rupena yo bahihi samanvet yesha sattvanam bhagavan atmamayaya. By exhibiting his potencies, the Supreme Personality of Godhead adjusts all these different elements, keeping himself within as the Supersoul and without as time. And then continuing, not only is time absent in the spiritual realm, the very foundation of time and all material potencies is not to be found. The primary creative energy of the Supreme Lord in the limited realm is called Maya. There's no Maya in Vaikuntha. It's called Maya because the term Maya means deception. As eternal, time is present in the unmixed state of material nature, the Pradhan. Time is present in the Pradhan, but there time is unmanifest. It has not yet begun to act, because there has not yet appeared anything for it to control. The different identities of Maya and the Pradhan will be explained in the Paramatma Sandarbha, text 49-55. I have a question to myself here. I thought time was put into the Pradhan by the glands. Here it says it's eternally present in the Pradhan. Seems to contradict. Let me make a comment to myself. Isn't time put into by the glands? Okay? I don't know, I said this, I don't know why I said it. I have to question myself. Yes? Speak into my phone. Can you speak into it?
It's not working.
Okay.
It's working out.
Okay.
So maybe the time is not as you suggested before in your commentary, that the time was not present before in Pradhana, and then when it becomes influenced by the time factor, then it becomes Prakriti.
I think we're told in the Brahma Samhita, and it's repeated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that time is one of the things that enters Pradhan as components of the glands of Mahavishnu. Mm-hmm. Right? Jivas and time and their svabhava, their karma. So, time is eternal, but it wasn't in the Pradhan. Pradhan is eternal also. But time doesn't enter Pradhan until Mahavishnu glances at Pradhan.
Prakriti. Mahatattva is the potential.
Yeah, because time starts acting, but I'm talking about time being eternally in the Pradhan and not acting. I think I'm wrong.
Yeah, looks like it's not there in Pradhana.
I don't see where that comes from. It's just a bogus statement. I will delete that statement. Yes. This is not a question.
From the quote you said in the from the third canto, the first one in the fifth chapter, it says, "The supreme living being in his future as the transcendental Purusha incarnation, as the Lord's plenary expansion, impregnates the material nature of three modes, and thus by the influence of eternal time the living entities appear."
Well, it looks like there's two ways to explain that. One is that time doesn't enter until the glance, which is actually the correct explanation. The wrong explanation that I picked up for some reason is that time is there, but it's not active until the glance. You see? There's no influence of time. This is the wrong explanation. That time is eternally in the pradhan, but it doesn't do anything until the glance happens. I don't know where I got that idea from, and I think it should be taken, that should be deleted. Okay? Last paragraph, short paragraph of the commentary. If Maya is absent in Vaikuntha, then certainly by the logic of what to speak of, Kimuta, or Kaimutya, Nyaya, as philosophers name it, the modes and their products, all creations of Maya, are also absent. Well, the modes and their products, that's the apare, others are absent. Well, okay, it seems like we're being told by Jiva Goswami, don't think that apare means mixed goodness. There's two reasons. One reason he gives is that goodness can't be mixed in Vaikuntha because there is nothing to mix with it. There's no passion and ignorance there anyway. And the verse specifically said that there's no mixed goodness. We were told that specifically. Yeah. No, we're having a class tomorrow, Sunday. No. Yeah, I guess Gopal Bhattabhu was coming, okay. Microphone.
Just to clarify the statement and translation, which you were yourself uncertain about, do we take the word mishram as referring to the mixed sattva, or we take mishram to point out to pradhana, which is compiled, which is made of undifferentiated?
I think the verse pretty obviously is saying mishra sattva.
Sattva mishram cha.
Well, sattva mishra. It doesn't say sattva pradhana. The word pradhana is not there.
Yeah, pradhana is not there, but maybe if sattva cha, mishram na cha. So there are two chats here, and maybe Mishram is referring to pradhana.
Well,
that explains the logic here.
It seems pretty far-fetched. You have the adjective. It is inverted. Usually the adjective should go before the noun. But it is next to the noun sattva. Why should we ignore, forget that, and apply the adjective to another noun that's not even there? Pradhana. I don't see a reason to do that, grammatically.
Well, if mishram is not taken as an adjective, but as a noun, say...
Well, it's not. It's an adjective.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah.
Because then it was
I guess a mishra could be a vaishya, but the normal meaning of mishra is an adjective, mixed.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you call something a mix. Yeah. But the normal use of it is an adjective. So, yeah, I don't see why it doesn't go with sattva. That's the most obvious thing.
Because in the translation, it says here, here it is, what else we can offer in the translation, which connected with the two other modes does not act, but neither does the mixed and separated goodness of the primeval pradhana. Strictly speaking, there is no goodness in the pradhana because it's just undifferentiated. We cannot even say what is goodness, what is rajas, what is sattva there. From this logic of point of view, we cannot even talk meaningfully about goodness in pradhana, which is even mixed with other, because it's mixed in the material world.
I'm trying to find the words here where it says there's no mixed goodness. Where is that?
It's not. It's in the first verse of the. It's in the first.
Nor is there any of their influence in goodness. Those are the words. That's the second verse. In that personal abode of the Lord, the material modes of ignorance and passion do not prevail, nor is there any of their influence in goodness. That's how Prabhupada translates, there's no mixed goodness. Which is okay. I think we should go with that.
Because
grammatically, it would be very hard to take the grammar some other way and have Mishra refer to a word that's not even there. So, and Prabhupada chose to translate it like that. He must have gotten it from the commentaries. I think we're talking about mixed goodness here.
The reason I'm asking about it, that in the statement, in the second sentence of the second paragraph of 10.9, Jiva Goswami says, Mishra Apidhak Bhutam Guna Trayam Pradhanam Cha. So he...
Okay, let me see...
To take Mishram as an adjective for Pradhanam.
10.9.
Yeah, 10.9.
There we're taking Mishra applied to Pradhan, you say.
Yes. As
let's see.
Even though the Pradhan is not implied there at all in the verse. So maybe we should not refer to Pradhan.
You're right.
It solves the kind of question now.
It solves my puzzle. It seems like Jiva Goswami is taking Mishram to refer to Pradhan. As if it was, you know, just an adjective without the noun. The white one is running, you mean the white horse. So the mixed one is the equilibrium state of nature, where everything is equally mixed. So Mishram refers to Pradhan. Okay, then I have to make a change in the translation. Prabhupada and probably Jiva Goswami in the Kramasandarbha or Vishwanath probably said it was mixed nature, mixed goodness. But now, Jiva Goswami is not interpreting it as mixed goodness, and he says that's pistapationam. It's redundant because we've already excluded any presence of passion and ignorance. Okay, that means we have to change the translation in the second verse. Nor is there any influence of their influence, good passion and ignorance, in goodness. Hold on a second. We have to change that. Jiva Goswami says that Mishra is Pradhan. And actually, yeah, we're talking about this, no Pradhan. 10.9 was talking about that. But the word Pradhan is not in the verse. The only reference to Pradhan we can have is the word Mishra. Okay, I'm sorry that I didn't see that. Thank you for pointing it out. Now the book won't have a horrible mistake in it. Yes.
Well, what's confusing is that before in 10.6 he uses the word Mishram.
10.6.
Yeah.
Let me look.
Atra vekunte prajastamas chana prapte tayur Mishram. Then he glosses this as Sahat Charam Jadam
Yatsatvam.
It seems in that he puts.
Okay.
Or is this that he implies a Mishram and he's not using that Mishram?
I took it that he's using the word Mishra in the verse. The word Mishra is in the verse.
Yeah.
You know, we want to argue that, no, I'm sorry, Mishra refers to Pradhan, so he can't be using the word Mishra. He's got to be interpolating another Mishra. That doesn't make sense. If you're using Mishra, it has to be Mishra, the word in the verse. It's already there. Okay. Okay. Hold on a second. I'm going to go back and not only does 10.9 identify Mishra as... I'm sorry, I got to find the comfort. 10.9, he says Mishra is Pradhan, but in 10.6, he says it's Sattva. I think I'll have to puzzle over that. He says it's sattva in 10.6, and then 10.9 he says it's wrong to say that it's sattva.
Like in the section that we are reading now, what Jiva Goswami is saying is redundant. Pishtapeshanam is, if somebody were to do the vyakhya that sattvam mishram, if somebody were to do the vyakhya that this means sattva without rajas and tamas, then it's redundant.
That sattva mishra means it, or does mishra mean it?
that if somebody were to explain, okay, here sattva mamishram means that sattva which is not mixed with rajas and tamas. If somebody were to make this...
What else could sattva mishram mean? Mishra sattva.
Yeah, as he's saying, it's pradhan, and it's sattva which is not even, and if in the same, if you go ahead, then he says it's only the pure goodness which is not even the material goodness.
I see. The sattva mishra is not pure goodness like you find in Vaikuntha. It's pradhan.
Yeah, that mishra is pradhan, and the sattva that we find in Vaikuntha is not even the material
mode.
There's
no pradhan in Vaikuntha, and sattva pradhan. The phrase refers to pradhan. Sattva mishram refers to pradhan. That's what you're telling.
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't refer to mixed goodness because we don't have to say that. It's already implied. What's toyoho? Wait a minute. Where do we have the toyoho? Oh boy. Okay, it's still confusing. It seems like we have both interpretations. We have an atava here. And that means a shift of interpretation. Where's the atava? Okay, great. That means that the atava starts a different interpretation. According to the different interpretation, it refers to pradhan. Yeah, sattva mishram refers to pradhan. But according to his first interpretation, it refers to mixed goodness. Now when he does this, can I explain? One minute. When he does something like this, he gives two different interpretations. Often, the second one is the one he prefers. He gives first someone else's interpretation or an imperfect attempt at interpretation, and then he corrects it with the second interpretation. Sometimes, not always. So this is a case where it seems like the preferred interpretation is the second one, because he gives a reason why the first interpretation is wrong. Okay, that explains it. Okay. That explains it well enough for me. You wanted to add to that? You had more? Go ahead. Would you use the mic?
Looks like in the second paragraph, Jiva Goswami, when he starts the atava, then he before he was taken sattvam mishram as an adjective of sattvam, but then he looks like he divorces sattvam mishram here, because in the first statement, first sentence, he says yatratayo sambandhi sattvam prakritam sattvam yatat napinavartate. So that sattvam is sambandhi with the, now he doesn't use deliberately the word mishram because that would be confusing. So he explains.
He still uses the word sattva.
He just uses sattva referring to the modes of material nature, rajas and tamas, which is sambandhi.
Oh, I see.
And then he says mishram is referring to pradhana, which is
spoken. He interprets sattva and mishra separately.
Yes, he doesn't take them together.
That's good. That. Okay, but it's all sorted out because this is a different interpretation.
Yes, different interpretation.
He doesn't have to agree with the first one. Okay. Thank you. You know, I translated this a couple of years ago, and I don't remember exactly everything, so I'm looking at it again, not familiar with what's going on. All right, so I think we can move ahead. Now, 10:10. It looks like when we get into 10:10, we're referring to Vishuddha Sattva. sattva, the sattva in Vaikuntha is pure goodness. Vakshate chatasya sattvasya prakritad anyatamatvam dvadashe Shri Narayan Narayan Rishim Prati Shri Markandeyena Satvam Rajas Tama Iti Shatavatma Bando Maya Maya Stiti Layod Bhava Etavosya Lila Drita Yadapi Satvamayi Prasham Tiyai Nanyen Rinam Vyasana Mohabiyas Chiyabhyam Tasmat Taveha Bhavavam Atatavatanam Shuklam Tanum Sadayitam Kushala Bhajanti Yatsatvata Purusharu Pamushanti Satvam Loko Yuto Bhayam Utatma Sukham Nachanyat. In the 12th canto, Sri Markandeya will tell Sri Narayan Rishi that this goodness is different from the material modes. O my Lord, O Supreme Friend of the conditioned soul, although for the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this world, you accept the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, which constitute your illusory potency, you specifically imply the mode of goodness to give complete peace to the conditioned soul. The other two modes simply bring them suffering, illusion, and fear. Okay, that's material goodness. Then he says in the next verse, O Lord, because the kingdom of God, where there is fearlessness and the happiness of the self, is achieved through the mode of pure goodness, your devotees consider this mode, but never passion and ignorance, to be a direct manifestation of you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Intelligent persons thus worship your beloved transcendental form, composed of pure goodness, along with the spiritual forms of your pure devotees. Now there seems to be some equation of the two different goodnesses, the material goodness and the spiritual goodness. If the goodness is pure, it's spiritual goodness. It's not only the same term referring to two different things, it seems to be referring to the same thing. And I think that's justified because the material energies are simply contaminated forms of the Lord's spiritual energies. The substance of material goodness is ultimately the spiritual substance. The spiritual substance manifests the material substance to expansion of it. And goodness, it's never completely spiritual in the material world, but there's a connection there. We're seeing, you know, Jiva Goswami and all the verses he's citing use the same term, sattva, to refer to both material and spiritual goodness. And here, Markandeya is talking about one and the other as if they were practically the same. The material goodness does this in the material world. It helps liberate the jivas. And it's ruling the spiritual world. Anyway, let's see what the commentary says. The Supreme Lord has use for both material and spiritual goodness. The imperfect kind of goodness influences some conditioned souls to become wise and dutiful, leading them in the direction of liberation. On the other shore of the Viraja, the river of liberation, pure spiritual goodness rules. Avidyaya mrityum tirtva vidyaya mrityam ashnute. That's from Isha Upanishad. by the ignorance of, so-called ignorance, of a ritual Vedic sacrifice, one transcends death. And then by enlightenment, one can enjoy immortal nectar. Although inferior, the goodness of the material creation resembles its prototype. Much more than the two lower modes, its effect on consciousness facilitates realization of the Supreme. Even the lower modes helps you make some progress. You know, it's described that the mode of passion is like smoke. The firewood is used to get fire, especially for the purpose of sacrifice. When you just get smoke, you're only halfway there. But it's, you know, what you can see in the mode of passion is a dim, confused, but it's still some indication of the Supreme. You know, you get knowledge in the mode of passion, and that does lead you in the right direction. It can lead you in the right direction. So there's some knowledge in, you know, very dim enlightenment in passion. But much more than the lower two modes, the mode of goodness, its effect on consciousness facilitates realization of the Supreme. Then I quote, Partivad dadano dumas tasmad agnis trayimaya tamasastu rajas tasmad sattvam yad brahmadarshanam. Firewood is a transformation of earth, but smoke is better than the raw wood. And fire is still better. For by fire, we can derive the benefits of superior knowledge through Vedic sacrifices. Similarly, passion, rajas, is better than ignorance, tamas. But goodness, sattva, is best, because by goodness one can come to realize the absolute truth. Second chapter of the first canto followed. Okay, that leads us up to 10:11. I think we'll stop here for today. Maybe we won't have another class. I don't know. Gopal Bhattacharya was supposed to come on Sunday. That still leaves us Monday. He said he might come both days, but he could change his plan, so you know, we don't know what's going to happen. Are we supposed to have some grammar test on Monday?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
What if Gopal Bhattacharya comes that day too?
Well, there'll be some
for sometime. And they can have a test afterwards?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, okay, any questions? Since we may not have opportunity to answer any other questions. Yes.
We can see that in the spiritual world there is also some variety, some activity, and at the same time it is said that activity is a mode, is a product of rajas. And,
not spiritual activity. Somehow, there's a different dynamics in the spiritual world.
Yeah,
there's
yeah,
only
sure.
One mode, and that mode has to do everything,
Sattva
including
Buddha.
Manifest the activities and the varieties. There's apparent pain in the spiritual world, apparent pain. So that's not being manifested. There's apparent destruction sometimes, but it's not. There's no mode of ignorance there to do it. The Vishuddha Sattva has to do everything in the spiritual world. Yeah. No, microphone.
Question yesterday, I think we were Madan Mohan Prabhu or someone. Question sent
yesterday. Oh, you mean? Well, I didn't do my calm mail yesterday. So you want to read me the question or tell
yeah,
me the question?
Can you read it?
You can just tell me what the question is.
Do you mind if I give it on the computer so you can?
I have always wondered as to the exact nature of the three gunas. Millions of lifetimes, you've been wondering. They do not seem to be the substantial elements of material existence in the same way as the Panchabhutas are. In other words, we cannot point out to the modes of nature in the same way as we can point to a vastu. This is water, this is ether, this is time. Well, time, you can't point to time. You can point to the influence of time. Well, the clock is telling you something else. It's, you know, it's a measurement of time indirectly.
Yeah.
Time actually can't be divided.
Yeah.
And it can't be seen. But you can see, you can infer time by its effects.
Yeah.
So see, a subtle thing, something that's actually really subtle, can't be seen. The Panchabhutas can be seen. At least their manifestations can be seen. You cannot see the original stockpile, you know, which are still there, the original stockpile of each of the five elements. That you can't see. Even if you went there, you wouldn't be able to see it. You don't have the eyes. Similarly, and they're subtle. Only when you combine the Panchabhutas into concrete things can you see the concrete things. And the three modes are even more subtle. They're the subtle causes of the Panchamahabhutas. The three modes, together with false ego, which is also very subtle, invisible, create the Panchamahabhutas, which actually by themselves are invisible, imperceptible. So it's not, it's no, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, it shouldn't give us doubt about the existence of the modes, it just means they're so subtle that nobody can perceive them. All we can perceive is influence of the modes. That you can perceive. You know, so-and-so gets angry and loses his intelligence, that's an obvious manifestation of ignorance. You don't see the ignorance, but you see the effect of it. Let me see, I didn't read all the questions. They appear to be more like three different modes of influence of the material energy upon the living entity's consciousness, and such do not have separate physical, metaphysical existence, apart from the interaction between jiva and matter. This explains why the gunas are not manifest in Pradhan, where the living entities are not present yet. But I don't know, I think I would rather say that they, you know, the way it's presented in the Bhagavatam and elsewhere, that the modes are substances, but they're extremely subtle substances. In their original form, they can't be, there's no way to perceive them. And they're not manifested in Pradhan because they're in complete equilibrium. And therefore there's no effect. Nothing happens in the Pradhan. So there's no effects of the modes by which we could deduce the presence of the modes. They're there. And I don't see why not say that they're there as substances and just say they're modes of influence. I think we can say they're substances, but very subtle substances.
But even besides this,
and I think Shukadev Goswami in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, when he talks about Pradhana, he does state that there is no time, there is no mode, there is no this, there is no that, there is nothing really
But it's also said by the same Shukadev Goswami that the three modes are there, but in equilibrium. Not that there are no three modes, and the three modes have to be brought in later on. Time is put in later on. But it's not said that the three modes are brought into Pradhan. Three modes are always there in Pradhan, but when Pradhan is inactive, they're invisible, there's nothing to see because they're in complete equilibrium and therefore not doing anything, not creating any effects.
But in essence then, what are they? Are they energies? Are they vastus?
Well, you want to distinguish between an energy and a substance. I don't know, I mean, That gets into, you know, tricky play of words. You know, what's the difference between, you know, is light a ray or, you know, or a particle? I mean, you know, I'm not going to get that kind of argument. They're energies, but... Okay, you want to call them energies, but, you know, you want to not call them substances? I'm not sure about that.
That's why I suggested maybe just if they're interpreted as but different modes of influence.
Mahabhutas have the same problem. Mahabhutas, until they combine into concrete items, objects, they're also imperceptible. So why are the Mahabhutas, earth, water, fire, air, why are they substances?
Well, there is a difference between them, looks like, because...
It's just a difference of more being more subtle, different degrees of subtleness.
There's functional difference, as far as I can see, between Mahabhutas and the gunas, because the gunas, they're like more like effective cause, whereas... bunch of Buddhas, they are material cause. There are two different causations here, and as effective cause, the energies of the Trigunas, they are influencing the conscious of linearity, whereas Mahabuddhas, they just present themselves to be influenced, to be
but
manipulated
it's not,
by
it's
the
not,
material.
It's not, it's not a law of logic. You know, logic defines the different kinds of causes, Nyaya Shastra. Effective causes and ingredient causes, Nimitta Karana and Upadana Karana. But it's not said there that Nimitta Karanams are not substances, but Upadana Karanams are. That distinction is not made. It's not because something's a Nimitta Karana, it's not a substance. God is the ultimate cause of everything, and he's the immediate cause of creation by his glance. But he's a thing, he's a substance.
Yes.
He's not just a principle or, you know, or a disembodied energy or what, yeah.
That's everything, whatever exists, is a substance, of course, but I think she does.
No, well, not according to Nyaya Vaisheshika. You know, there are substances, and there are qualities, and there are actions, and there are jatis, and there are some, you know, there are seven different categories, and substance is one of them. But I think the pradhan is a substance, the modes are substances, faulty ego is a substance, it's just a matter of degrees of subtlety. The pradhan itself is a substance. Why not the modes, which are components of the pradhan? Why are they not substances?
That's what I'm asking.
Because no, I think they are. I think they are substances,
okay.
But they're just so subtle that in their pure state you can't see them. But you can see the effects of the modes in the practical world. You can see the effects and infer the influence of the modes.
If I really remember, Shridharaswami, one of his commentaries on the Bhagavatam, I think 11th canto, he describes the two functions of Maya, like Upadana and Nimitta Karanas, and then he ascribes different elements to different functions. And as far as I remember, I'll check it if I'm right or wrong,
yes.
But he refers to relegates the Shrimals to the Nimitta function of Maya, whereas Upadana Karana includes everything like Pancha Buddhas and things.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean not substance. To be a Nimitta Karana doesn't rule out you being a substance.
Well, we have to then talk about the terms, like if they act upon the condition function of Maya acts upon the living energy, then it's like above or controlling the jiva, whereas Pancha Buddhas, they're presented as if they're inferior and they're being able to be manipulated by the jiva. Anyway, it's technical.
Are.
Yeah.
Okay,
the second question. And,
okay.
You wake your computer up.
I think it has to be swiped. With your finger.
Okay, so conceded. Two. Is there any authoritative description of the correlation between Satchidananda and Sattva Just Tamas?
Well,
I think there's something in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I don't remember where, about how the material energies reflect in the material energy or expand into the material energies. And the three spiritual energies, basic spiritual energies, are Sandhani, Samvit, and Sladhani. And actually, I think it's said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which just may be coming from not from the Sundarbas, that was written later, but from some writings of the Goswamis, maybe Lagu Bhagavatamrita. Well, you have a quote here from Bhagavat Sundarbas. Oh, I see. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada says. In his Bhagavat Sundarbas, text 23, Srila Jiva Goswami states, the Pama Purana refers to the eternally auspicious abode of Godhead, which is full in all opulences, including the energies Sri Bhu and Nila, the Mahasamhita, which discusses the transcendental name and form of God, also mentions Durga as the potency of the supersoul relationship with the living entities. The internal potency acts in relation with his personal affairs, and the material potency manifests the three modes. I remember somewhere in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but it's probably more than one place, where there's an actual correspondence stated between the, you know, there's some vitality and sundani and the three modes, and their reflections of material nature. We have to go through, you know, go to the folio and find that. Okay, one last question. Sorry, again. Okay.
Remember, Madhavendra Puri Prabhu, while giving his seminar on Dasam Mulatattva, he quoted this verse. I don't remember the beginning, but it's Hlada Tapa Kari Misha, and so on, that one. So, and he told that this is like a proof that the same spiritual energy exists in the spiritual world. It acts in this material world and gives pains and sufferings to conditional living entities in order to wake them up and to bring them back to Godhead.
Correlation. That's the influence of the spiritual energy on certain living entities in the material world. But we're talking about the question whether the material energies, whether they originate or they actually correspond somehow. The three modes expand from each of the three main spiritual energies. And I'm almost sure that Prabhupada says that in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yeah,
they're identical. I'm not sure. There are 16 energies, including Sri, Bhu, and Nila. They're the three primary ones. So I'm not sure about the correspondence between them and Sundani and Sundani and Finani. Sure.
In the
okay,
yeah. Well, it's related to what you're just saying. In the fourth chapter of the Adi Lila, Prabhupada discusses Samvit, Sandini, and Ladini. It actually says that the whatever knowledge we have in this material world is coming from the Samvit. So, this illusion as a presentation of material energy, which is influenced by the Samvit Shakti, is a perverted matter, like the perception of the sense of the objects. All that's from Samvit. The Samvit Shakti should be maintained in that state. Material knowledge and indirect spiritual knowledge are byproducts of the Samvit Shakti.
Okay.
And then he explains also that Ladini Shakti, when it's adulterated by the external material energy, it, instead of emanating from Krishna, it emanates from the living being. It does not attract Krishna. On the contrary, the living being becomes attracted by the glamour of the material energy, by the Ladini Shakti.
Okay, that's saying that
The
influence of the effects of the material modes are actually caused by the spiritual energies. That's good to know, but I think there are also statements that actually say that the material modes are expanding from the three major spiritual energies. We have to find those statements. Okay, we'll stop now. Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Sri Tattva Bhagavat Sandarbha Ki Jai.